The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Mark chapter 8, what did Jesus mean when he was speaking about losing your life and finding your life or saving your life? And what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? We're going to talk about it today right here on Grace in Focus. And thank you, friend, for joining us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and our website is faithalone.org. Please look us up there to find out more about us, our regional conferences, our publications, and our magazine, which has a free subscription that is also called Grace in Focus. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now, with today's teaching, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
And we are going through Mark, selecting a passage from each chapter.
And we're at the midpoint.
We are. And I got to tell you, I think if you were to pick just a few verses in Mark that kind of summarize what the book is about, I would...
You'd pick these, Mark 8:34-38?
Yeah, I think this is really a key passage for Mark. If Mark indeed is a book about discipleship, which, by the way, it is... It's not a book telling people how to get to heaven.
That's the subtitle of your commentary.
Right, Lessons in Discipleship. It would be hard to pick some verses more clear about what it means to be a disciple.
And yet most people take Mark 8:34-38 to be evangelistic verses. This is how you're born again.
Right, and I have to tell you, as Bob said, most people say this is an evangelistic verse. There's no way. It's absolutely impossible that these verses are talking about how to avoid, how to be saved from the lake of fire.
Because that would contradict John 3:16, John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8, 9, name it. All kinds of verses.
And you cannot look at these verses and say, oh, this is telling me how to avoid the lake of fire, but it's all by grace. Because these verses
are about works.
Are not only works, but difficult
work. Laying down your life.
Right. Taking up a cross, denying yourself. So I know that sometimes when you're a free grace believer and you know that salvation, eternal life is given by grace alone, that you get attacked. But this is one place you could go to say, man, you people who are using this as a gospel presentation are really all wet.
You've lost your way.
You've lost. Not only have you lost your way, you've lost your minds. You need some serious help.
We should take you over to Terrell where they have the state mental hospital.
That's exactly right.
You need some therapy here.
And if you come to these verses and think this is talking about something that's free, I don't know what to say to you. So anyway, we'll read these verses. I think it's short enough. And just be reading them. We'll let you know he's talking about works.
Yeah, go for it. Okay. All right. Mark 8:34-38.
Yeah. And when he called, talking about Christ, called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me.
Notice those words, to come after me, that's discipleship. Not come to me in salvation, come after me
like
in salvation.
It would be like follow after me.
Well,
right?
In fact, he says that in what's following.
I know. It's just unbelievable that people. Anyway, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
And by the way, this immediately follows Peter telling Jesus he's not going to the cross, and Jesus saying, get behind me, Satan,
right,
which means adversary,
right,
because Peter had not been mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. He wanted glory now, and he didn't want suffering first.
Right.
And so what Jesus is saying is, no, suffering is on the path of glory.
Right, and this is the first time Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm headed to Jerusalem to die, and now he's saying, pick up your cross and follow me.
Right. Now, every believer has everlasting life.
Right.
And every believer is going to have joy forever. But fullness of joy and fullness of the glory of God is only achieved by being an overcoming believer, a faithful believer. And that's exactly what Jesus says here.
Right. And remember, he's talking to the disciples who just said, you're the Christ.
Right.
You're the Christ.
Yeah, Peter just makes his great confession.
Right.
And blessed are you because the Father has revealed this to you. Then he makes his great blunder And he rebukes him for that.
Right.
And then he says, if you come after him, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Why? Because Jesus is on his way to Calvary.
Exactly. So he's going to the cross.
Follow me.
That's right.
And after I die, follow me on that same path.
Exactly. And then he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.
Now, by the way, the word for life there is the Greek word psuche.
Right.
And it can be translated soul or life or living being, sometimes even animals, like Noah and eight persons were saved in the ark. There's eight souls were saved in the ark, it says.
Right.
That was psuche. Jesus laid down his life for us. That's psuche.
So, and then in Acts, all the people on the ship, their souls, their psuches were saved.
There were like 300 of them or something.
No, it was like 100 and I forgot how many there were, but I want to say
190
like,
maybe?
Yeah, it was high 100s. But it was their lives were saved. The reason why that's important because it also occurs in the next verse. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his psuche?
His life, his soul, his inner person.
Right. Or what will a man give in exchange for his psuche?
So it should be translated the same way
life,
in both verses.
Right.
But the New King James translates it life in one place and soul in the other. That's
Which
confusing.
Very, very unfortunate. What Jesus says is, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? And then he goes on, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Yeah, so this last verse, it seems to me, is not looking at unbelievers.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Unbelievers aren't really ashamed of Jesus. They've not believed in him. I would think this is looking at believers and the judgment seat of Christ because a verse like 1 John 2:28, my little children abide in him so that when he appears, we have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. Well, here, if we're ashamed of him, he's also going to be ashamed of us, right?
Yeah, and it's you'll often hear Christians say, when we see the Lord, he won't be ashamed of us. You know, when the Lord comes back, this is a stumbling block for Christians.
So therefore, they say this has to be unbelievers.
That's right, because in fact,
he couldn't be ashamed of a believer.
Yeah, I just recently did a Bible conference in Europe, and there were a couple of people in the audience who were very, very adamant that, no, when Jesus comes back, he's not going to be ashamed of any believer. And they even said, you need to take that back.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not a pleasant thought, is it?
Right.
I mean, I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me, right? You don't want that, right? But the thing is, if it's a reality that some believers will experience shame at the judgment seat of Christ because Jesus is ashamed of them, isn't it better to know it now?
Right.
I mean, because that's kind of a warning. And it seems to me what Jesus is saying here is if we deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him, then we gain fullness of life now. And at the judgment seat of Christ, instead of being ashamed of us, Jesus is going to be proud of us. He's going to approve of us. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah, and then the opposite of that is if we've lived according to the flesh, and we've not done what he's told us to do, then he's going to be ashamed of us. And I just want to say that in the Gospel of Mark, as we've said throughout all these chapters, it is a book about discipleship. And here is Jesus for the first time telling his disciples, because they don't understand. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm going to Jerusalem to
suffer.
And
why is that so hard for them? Well, I mean, we get it, right? We know
sure.
He has to go to the cross. If there's no cross, there's no salvation. There's no eternal life. But they didn't think that way, did they?
No, they thought the Messiah is going to come.
Right, and then what's the next step?
And then the kingdom comes, and then everything is...
And what about the cross? There is no cross.
Right, everything's great.
You know, so I believe in him. He gives me eternal life, and he doesn't have to shed his blood for me.
And they're expecting,
in their mind.
Right, and they're expecting no suffering.
They're going to get glory within the year or two.
Exactly.
Because he's going to be on the throne, and they're going to be on 12 thrones ruling over the 12 tribes.
It's amazing how strong tradition can be, right? Because in their mind, oh, he said he's going to Jerusalem. Oh, good. We're going to go to Jerusalem. That's the capital. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. But they're so bound by traditions, they can't even hear that.
Well, not only that, and he says, I'm going to rise from the dead on the third day. Then when he does die, they forget that he had told them.
Right.
And when he does die, they no longer think he's going to rise from the dead on the third day. And when the reports start coming in that he's risen from the dead, they don't believe it.
Exactly.
The two disciples on the road to Emmaus don't realize they're talking to Jesus, and they're saying, we thought this was the Messiah, but now we realize he wasn't. Right. And he's like, really? Let me show you the Old Testament scriptures that he had to die and he had to rise. And he goes through all that, and then the Holy Spirit takes away the blinders, and they realize it was Jesus. And in Luke 24, they say, didn't a heart burn within us as he was opening the scriptures to us?
I want to say something about this. Discipleship is a process. Discipleship, the very term means learning, to be a student. And when we look at the disciples here, they're making all kinds of mistakes. And
but
they're
that's
learning.
How you learn.
That's how you learn. What an encouragement for us. Every one of us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know you have eternal life in him, you've believed in him for it, you say, okay, now I want to be a disciple. It's going to be difficult. Here's the deal. You're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
There's things you need to learn. There's things we all need to learn. And these guys show us that. Because you look at these guys and you go, man, how dumb are these guys? They don't get this.
And the Old Testament did. All the animal sacrifices pointed to Messiah shedding his blood for us.
Right.
And Isaiah 52 and 53, the suffering servant.
Right.
But somehow they didn't get it.
Right.
Well, actually, there were some Jews who believed there were two different messiahs.
Right.
One to rule and reign, one to suffer. But others, like them, just thought, no, he's going to rule and reign and there is no suffering.
And so this passage of scripture is telling us this. Jesus says, you want to be my disciple, follow me. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through difficulty. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn, but keep plugging along. And when I come back, I'll be proud of you.
That's the path of fullness of life.
Exactly.
The emphasis in this passage is on the life to come, I think. But by implication, he's also saying, if you give up your life now, you also gain it now.
Right.
You also have abundance of life now, because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have more abundance.
John 10:10.
Yeah.
Well, we hope these verses inspire all believers to be disciples of the Lord, whatever the cause, knowing
Amen.
That it's a learning process. And in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, what is the role of prayer and fasting? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.